Restricted stock units, known as RSUs, have become a popular form of compensation, especially in the tech and life sciences industries. It's important you know how these work, so today I'll explain in simple terms everything you need to know about how RSUs work, their tax implications, how to maximize them, and also navigating the unique aspects of RSUs at private companies, like the double trigger rule. Companies can pay you in several ways. Most do with cash. Many, though, choose to pay you partly in the form of company stock. This is often where RSUs come in. RSUs represent a promise that the company will pay you a certain amount of company stock after you meet certain requirements. When a company offers you RSUs, it's known as a grant, and the requirements you need to meet in order to one day own the stock is known as a vesting schedule. Most vesting schedules are simply a time period you need to remain employed in order to receive the shares. Sometimes, though, RSUs vest based on reaching certain company or personal milestones related to performance. For example, most companies use a 4-year vesting schedule, which means that if they grant you 2,000 shares, it will take 4 years before you receive them all. A very common approach is that you will get 1/4 each year. So at the end of year one, you get 500, then another 500 at the end of year two. Each company is different though. Some vest monthly after the first year. When your RSUs do vest, there's nothing you need to do. The shares will automatically be deposited in your stock plan account. You will get vesting details as part of your grant document, listed as the vesting schedule. If you own RSUs in a private company, things get a little more complicated. RSUs in private companies generally have what's known as a double trigger rule. This is because at private companies, if your shares vested based only off time employed, you would owe tax at vest, but if your company was still private, there would be no secondary market to sell the shares. This negatively impacts employees by causing you taxes without a way for you to come up with the cash to pay the tax bill. This is where the double trigger rule comes in. Unlike public companies, private companies typically use two triggers for the RSUs to vest. One is the normal time-based trigger following a vesting schedule, but there also must be a performance-based trigger requiring another condition that needs to be met for RSUs to fully vest. This condition is typically tied to specific milestones or events, a successful IPO or an acquisition. This way, even if your shares would normally have all vested and caused a taxable event, if the company hasn't had an IPO, technically the shares haven't vested yet, and therefore you don't owe taxes. But as soon as the IPO happens, they all vest. But now, since it's public, you have a way to easily sell shares. With either public or private companies, once RSUs vest, you now own the shares, which you can then choose to do what you want with. All of these details will be laid out for you in what is called a grant agreement. Companies offer RSUs as a retention tool. It's a way for the employees to own a piece of the company. With that, an employee's income and wealth can increase if the company grows. So it can help align the individual goals with the company's. Basically, if the company grows, so can your pay through RSUs. Studies from ComputerShare have shown that employees that receive equity are more likely to be satisfied at work and feel they are paid fairly than those that don't. On the other hand, companies like RSUs because they help retain employees. RSUs can sometimes be like golden handcuffs, where staff stay with the company in order to receive the RSUs that haven't vested yet. Because if you quit before your RSUs have vested, you won't get those shares and that money. For the most part, taxes on RSUs are straightforward. Of all the different types of stock-based compensation, from options and ESPPs to restricted stock, RSUs are typically taxed as ordinary income at the time of vesting, and they are subject to income tax and payroll taxes. They'll be reported on your W-2. Later, whenever you choose to sell the shares, you then have the potential for capital gains or losses. For example, if you own Apple RSUs, as soon as the shares vest, you will pay ordinary income tax on the amount vested, just as if you earned it as part of your normal salary. Most companies withhold taxes by actually withholding shares of the stock and selling them. In this example, Apple will withhold taxes by withholding shares. So instead of you getting 500 shares of Apple stock in your account, you would maybe only get 400 shares. If you then hold those 400 shares from that point on, when you sell in the future, any gains or losses could be short or long-term capital gains. One important note on taxes is that most companies use a standard withholding of 22% federally for RSUs. So if your marginal tax bracket is above 22%, your RSUs will generally be under withheld. I've seen this many times where people with RSUs get a surprise tax bill in April, and it's usually caused by the RSUs not having enough withholding. The big question is, what should you do with your RSUs once they vest? You have three options. First, you can do nothing. You can let the shares build up. Many people choose this just by default. You're busy, you mostly ignore it, and life goes on. This causes the shares to build up over time, and they can become a substantial amount of your net worth. This can work out great if the company does well, and oftentimes it unfortunately fails miserably. Option two is you can sell the shares and use the cash. For many people, RSUs act as a savings goal or another savings account. Often they sell RSUs to help buy a new home, car, go on vacations, and so on. Or you can sell the shares and reinvest the proceeds into something else. This is often the best choice. Many times I see the mistake that people build up huge amounts of stock in their company. Having a concentrated holding of stock in any single company is risky, but even more so when it's who you work for. Not only is your stock at risk, but so is your job security, salary, health benefits, etc. The same event that causes the stock to crash could likely cause layoffs. Also, it's good to remember that if you have unvested shares or continue to get new refresher grants of RSUs, even if you sell some shares you currently own, you still participate in the growth of the company because you have unvested shares that will go up in value. So the stock price rising can still greatly benefit you. To help make this decision, I advise people to think of RSUs like a cash bonus. If instead of giving you $50,000 worth of stock, if they gave you $50,000 in cash, would you then take that money and go buy shares of your company stock? If the answer is yes, then great. If the answer is no, though, then you should probably consider selling the stock and diversifying into low-cost index funds. Remember, there's no tax benefit to holding RSUs once they vest. They are instantly taxed on the value at the time of vesting, and there's no further benefit to holding. I also like to think about which scenario I would regret more. Would I regret selling the stock and watching it reach an all-time high? Or would I regret holding the stock and watching it crash to all-time lows? The painful thing I have seen too often is people end up getting taxed based on the value at vest, only to watch the share price drop. Now you essentially pay taxes on a dollar amount you no longer have. So take a look at your grant documents, understand when these shares will vest, and make a plan to optimize your RSUs and cash flow. As a helpful resource, I included in the description a checklist covering all the issues you should consider with your RSUs. Also, if you have built up a lot of RSUs and are trying to figure out what to do now, you can check out this video on 5 ways to manage concentrated stock.